Chapter 11, Combined Arms for Air Defense. This chapter addresses the contributions that Army non-AMD forces provide in the execution of AMD operations, commonly referred to as Combined Arms for Air Defense. All forces may be involved in AMD operations, either through direct engagement or indirect support actions. The capabilities and considerations presented throughout this chapter are of those non-AMD forces that complement the capabilities of dedicated Army, Joint, and multinational AMD forces. The capabilities may include small arms, crew-served weapons, or missiles. In most cases, the discussion addresses situations where there are no ADA forces present. The focus of this chapter, unless otherwise indicated, is the BCT and low-flying threats. General. Since the advent of air power, Army forces have been observed, challenged, threatened, and attacked by enemy air, and have had to learn, train, and execute their missions under the premise of air attack. To help counter this air threat, the Army developed AMD capabilities, ranging from missile defense to CRAM systems. The AMD capabilities are prioritized and allocated to protect the most critical force assets throughout an operation. However, the amount of dedicated ADA resources available within the Army has always been insufficient to protect all of the force components. Therefore, non-ADA forces must contribute to defense against air threats, relying on their own protection capabilities to supplement any dedicated ADA forces allocated to them. The primary air threats to the maneuver force are RAM, UASs, Groups 1 and 2, fixed and rotary wing aircraft, and cruise missiles. It is likely all of these threats, in various quantities and with various capabilities, are present in a BCT's area of operations and can threaten the commander's ability to maneuver freely and execute mission requirements. The most prevalent air threat generally varies by theater and by time during an operation. RAM and surveillance UASs, capable of queuing fires against friendly assets, are likely always present. The low, slow, and small 1 UASs, Groups 1 and 2, are prominent threats, given their small size and signature and ability to report friendly force locations in near real time. UASs may also be employed in coordinated groups, and in the future, swarms, further complicating engagements by friendly forces. And as discussed in previous chapters, the threat has added the capability to execute complex integrated attacks, using a combination of different platforms with different capabilities to conduct a synchronized attack in near real time. Actions taken by Army forces in support of AMD may be either active or passive. Active measures are offensive and defensive actions taken to defeat the air threat before, during, and after they attack friendly assets. These actions can be taken by Army systems that have not been optimized or adapted with a capability against the air threats, or by Army systems with enhanced AMD capabilities. The non-optimized systems engage an air threat without making changes to the system's primary mission, role, or capabilities. For instance, crew-served weapons shoot at an air target using manual super elevation and lead angle, Kentucky windage. Enhancements may add such capabilities as air track targeting information in C2 systems, airborne platform attack mode in electronic attack systems, and new software in BCT sensors to enable detection, tracking, and reporting of airborne platforms. Active measures may be taken against all air threats sighted above in the air or on the ground, with the exception of RAM. Only ADA units and some self-protection systems have the capability to actively engage RAM threats in the air. Passive measures are actions taken to reduce the enemy's ability to detect, locate, target the force, and minimize the effects of the attack. Passive measures include camouflage, cover, concealment, air guards, convoy procedures, signals intelligence, and operational security. These measures help mitigate the enemy's ability to use air power to affect Army operations. Passive measures may be taken against all threats. As previously mentioned, all Army forces participate in and support AMD operations. Sustainment forces in general, for instance, provide the standard Army Class 1 through 9 support, maintenance, and transportation support. Maneuver support forces, such as chemical sections, military police forces, and engineer components, may advise ADA elements on seaburn, support the security requirements of ADA units, and enhance the survivability of ADA systems with protective works, respectively. The forces most actively and directly engaged in AMD operations are maneuver, aviation, special operations, field artillery, and intelligence. Maneuver. Maneuver forces support both surveillance and attack operations against threat air capabilities. Maneuver forces can conduct and support the engagement of UASs, groups 1 and 2. The addition of Stinger teams in maneuver formations provides an enhanced capability to engage enemy UASs, fixed and rotary wing aircraft, and some low-altitude cruise missiles. Aviation. Aviation forces may attack an enemy's ground-based theater launch assets in the deep area. Army aviation forces are not equipped for air-to-air combat. However, they may attempt to engage air threats as targets of opportunity or in self-defense. Special operations. Special operations forces are adept at deep strikes on C2 facilities and launch sites as part of attack operations. Field artillery. Field artillery is one of the Army's primary means for attack operations. Field artillery forces provide scalable capabilities, a range of non-lethal to lethal actions against enemy C2 stations and launch sites, suppression of enemy air defenses, as well as in the counter-fire fight. These capabilities provide the required effects, while considering collateral damage. Artillery sensors also provide data inputs to the air picture. When CRAM is deployed in the maneuver area, artillery sensors are directly linked to it to provide cueing against RAM threats in the air. Intelligence. Intelligence elements perform the analysis of enemy aerial capabilities, the foundation of the IPB for ADA units. They assist in collecting and analyzing such data as threat air activity, technical characteristics, ingress tactics, and potential warheads and/or payloads. In addition, they provide strategic, early, and accurate warning and targeting information for attack operations. Maneuver, special operations, and field artillery forces generally contribute to AMD operations before and after launch. Aviation and intelligence forces contribute before, during, and after launch. Command and control. AMD operations are further enhanced by electronic warfare actions, specifically electronic attack and electronic protection. Electronic attacks, for instance, can deceive or confuse operators in C2 nodes at the tactical through strategic levels. They can also adversely impact an enemy's ability to surveil using UASs. Electronic protect involves actions taken to protect personnel, facilities, and equipment from any effects of friendly or enemy use of the electromagnetic spectrum that degrade, neutralize, or destroy friendly combat capability. This may include limiting the electromagnetic signatures of radars to reduce an enemy's ability to locate these systems. For further information on cyberspace and electronic warfare operations, see FM3-12. Engagements of air threats are executed in accordance with AMD directives issued by the AADC. Directives such as ROE, weapons control status, and air defense warnings establish the conditions for what can be engaged, and to a degree, when an engagement can be conducted. For example, in self-defense. AMD information is initially incorporated into the BCT's operation plan. ATOM cells transmit the AMD directives to BCT forces through Land War Net. The information constitutes the initial air defense conditions and changes as they are enacted. Information can be transmitted by voice or data. Land War Net is also used to provide sensor detections, situational awareness of the BCT's airspace and airspace in the immediate vicinity of the BCT, and early warning. Planning and employment considerations. ATOM cell personnel developed the AMD appendix for the BCT. The appendix addresses the organic capabilities of the BCT for both active and passive defense, and capabilities of an ADA unit placed in support of the BCT or of ADA units operating in its vicinity. It identifies AMD missions for the BCT's organic and supporting units. Intelligence units, for instance, may assist in identifying the air threat to be countered and analyze potential enemy courses of action. The brigade commander establishes the priority of assets to be defended and influences the positioning of any supporting ADA unit. The ATOM cell facilitates the commander's understanding of the airspace and the capabilities, locations, and missions of ADA units in or near the BCT area. The BCT's battalion size elements can get assistance from the ATOM cell or supporting ADA unit if one is assigned, in incorporating AMD into their plans. The ATOM cell or ADA unit can provide the current data on projected air threats, special guidance on ROE, UAS and aviation locations and transit routes through the brigade's area, and any engagement directives from the designated engagement authority. This enables aerial situational understanding for BCT units and mitigates fratricide. Defenses for virtually all Army elements are focused on the potential or projected ground threat. Units and their weapons are positioned to deny or mitigate this threat. However, with the increasing proliferation of UASs and potential for complex integrated attacks of any friendly concentration of forces, commanders must be cognizant of, plan, and allocate resources to defend against air threats. Thus, defenses of installations, such as operating bases, or areas where brigade elements may concentrate, should consider the most likely air ingress routes, surveillance orbits, and suspected areas from which UASs and rotary and fixed-wing aircraft can be launched. BCT units must incorporate passive defense measures into their AMD planning. In addition to camouflage and movement control, units can plan for and institute electromagnetic hardening, electronic masking, and emission control by such measures as shielding sensitive equipment components, controlling signatures to protect against threat signal intelligence operations, and selecting and controlling the use of sensors and C2 emitters, respectively. FM3-12. Units on installations should continually harden their locations and incorporate all means to lessen the potential for threat observation and mitigate the effects of air attacks. For more information on passive AMD measures, see ATP 3-01.8. ATOM cells are cognizant of friendly UAS launch times and projected operating areas. ATOM soldiers, in coordination with Brigade S3 and the Maneuver Force UAS units, may establish restricted operations zones that encompass UAS operating areas and affect the AMD actions initiated by Maneuver Force soldiers. Engagement considerations. Engagements can be lethal or non-lethal, and they can be executed against air and missile threats on the ground or those that are airborne. Engagements are conducted by the best available system or systems positioned and capable of negating an enemy's capabilities. All of the Maneuver Force's organic weapons can be used in self-defense. Key to the engagements is the detection of the threat in sufficient time and with sufficient accuracy to allow friendly forces to execute necessary responses. For more information on active AMD measures, see ATP 3-01.8. The best defense against air and missile threats is to destroy them on the ground before launch or disrupt/destroy their control stations. Intelligence analysis and collection efforts are continuous and support pre-planned and dynamic targeting. Using potential launch site and C2 location information identified by intelligence elements, field artillery, aviation, and special operating forces, employ lethal means to target these threat assets at extended ranges. Electromagnetic jamming directed against a UAS control station can disrupt its electronic signals, thus reducing the controlled UAS's ability to surveil the right area and transmit targeting data. Once the threat is airborne and enters the brigade's defended areas, brigade units use all means to destroy these threats. Engagements are procedurally controlled. A different weapons control status, weapons hold, weapons tight, and weapons free, may be applied simultaneously to different weapon systems, different threat types, and in different airspace areas. JP 3-01. The more restrictive status, weapons hold, is generally in effect in low threat environments or when there are numerous friendly aircraft operating in the brigade airspace. A more liberal status, weapons tight or free, may potentially be declared in a high threat environment or when there is certainty that no friendly or neutral air platforms are in the area. The right of and rules for self-defense are also established. The right of self-defense is never denied. Engagement authority for most air threats in the brigade area flying below the coordinating altitude is likely vested with the BCT commander. The sole exception may be fixed-wing aircraft, the AADC or his designated representative. For example, the RADC may retain engagement authority for these threats, irrespective of whether they are flying above or below the coordinating altitude. Maneuver forces on the tactical edge of the battlefield use their organic weapons to engage surveilling or attacking rotary or fixed-wing aircraft and UASs. All such efforts are considered self-defense actions. Crew-served weapons are more capable against fixed-wing aircraft and helicopters, while small arms are generally better against the Group 1 UASs. Threat systems that transit a unit's location but are not attacking that unit may also be engaged. However, they are more likely allowed to continue transiting given the relative short ranges and limited AMD effectiveness of maneuver force weapons. The reintroduction of Stinger to the maneuver force provides an additional capability for the defense of critical assets in BCTs and their subordinate units. Brigade or battalion commanders may task organized Stinger teams at their respective locations for protection of CPs or logistical elements, or each team may remain with its parent company. One Stinger team is currently projected per maneuver company. Regardless of organization, a team is generally positioned in proximity to the defended asset. The team weights its coverage to the most likely air avenue of approach. The team receives positional information of friendly, hostile, or neutral air activity in its vicinity from the ATOM cell, or a supporting ADA unit, through its unit's communications nets. Early warning cues the Stinger soldier as to where to look for the aerial object. Once the object has been detected, the team uses the ROE, weapons control status, and identification criteria to determine whether to engage or not. Primary targets are rotary wing aircraft and UASs, especially the low, slow, and small ones. As noted previously, different weapon control statuses may be in effect for different air types. It is likely that weapons tight may be directed for rotary wing aircraft, and weapons free for the low, slow, and small UASs. See ATP 3-01.18 for additional discussion of Stinger team techniques. Army forces can use electronic attack measures against airborne UASs to disrupt signals. Electromagnetic deception and intrusion devices and activities are designed to mislead or deceive the threat. FM 3-12. These devices can deny, defeat, or exploit the link between the UAS and its ground control station. Deny activities are executed through jamming with little to no operator interaction. Defeat is the deliberate measure to render the link ineffective and requires man-in-the-loop interaction. And exploit is the deliberate effort to employ deception measures and is exercised by an operator. See FM 3-12 for additional discussion of cyberspace capabilities. Aviation forces do not have a dedicated air-to-air weapon system. Army helicopters and UASs may engage enemy air threats as targets of opportunity or in self-defense. Air crews must give careful consideration to collateral damage. No current aviation weapon system has a self-destruct capability, and firing air-to-ground systems at enemy aircraft creates a significant collateral damage hazard in the sector of fire. Offensive actions by the aviation, field artillery, and special operating forces continue during the air battles and after the threat platforms have exited the brigade area. Combined fires continue to target enemy air capabilities, platforms on the ground, and control stations to reduce further air activities.